Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I've decided to do a new podcast. This one will be called Brown People, a podcast where I speak to politicians, pundits, mothers, and thinkers about discovering the stories of people of colour. I'll be your host as we dive into the lives of thoughtful individuals who have maybe courted controversy, but have definitely lived a life worth talking about. We'll be talking about the struggles, the triumphs, and everything in between as we hear the experiences of people from all over the globe. We'll be getting to the root of what drives them, how they see the world, and how the world sees them, and how they've overcome the obstacles that life has thrown in their way. This is a podcast that will be an exploration and a conversation. So join us as we shine a light on the stories, struggles, and we look at the lives of people of colour. Please subscribe to it today, whether you're a brown person or not.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
Welcome. And first off, I have to say, you're such a lovely bunch of people. Thank you, everybody who's been giving me hugs and support. Some of you that have had a funeral to attend this weekend, and there's been other kind of family dramas. One of the things that's really helped me through this weekend is Jacqueline being a total star and giving me space to grieve and be with my family. So as soon as this is over, I'm rushing off to the wake. Sorry that I haven't been around and I haven't been my normal cheery self, but thank you for those that did know. Give me hugs, give me support. It's meant a lot. And yes, I've lost an uncle, and he's obviously a member of my family, but you are my chosen and extended family. You're incredibly special. And 9+ years ago, my love of this wonderful soap opera led me to try and find my friends, my family, my tribe, and I've found you, and I'm looking at you now. So thank you.
Oh, Royfield.
Also, it goes without saying that we are the People's Podcast, right? I do not claim to be any expert on the Archers other than I'm a fan. And the fact that I'm not an expert, I reveal every week when I get on the mic. Right, because I have to defer to other people, Cosmo or Stephen, but this is a wonderful thing which could only be put together through the internet, through social media. Not loving the Archers, but our unique take on it. I am utterly no leader of this tribe. I'm just one of many. And one of the things which I have to do after 9 years of doing this podcast is say that, you know what? My time's up. I do so many different things, and things are starting to fray at the edges. And that has been large this weekend in terms of the Academic Archers, aren't they cool? They've asked Cara and Nicola have fundamentally really put this together. Yes, I might have chosen this venue, but they've done all the grunt work. And then and it's so wonderful to see somebody like Stephen, who's come up, Bernadette, We've got Mel, who's come all the way down from Scotland. We've got Philippa. We've got Quentin. It just shows that we are a team of all the talents. We're a wonderful set of people who, doesn't matter whatever happens with me, this podcast will go on and on. And it, to that, in that vein, it's symbolic and touches me emotionally. And I'm such a big softy, I think everybody knows, that we have Kerry with us today, who was literally, if not actually, and I get upset when people say literally and mean actually, one of the first great and the good to come onto the show. I can't remember if it was episode 5 or episode 7. It wasn't episode 10, and Kerry actually came on, and it was like we've been sprinkled with a bit of gold dust. It was a bit of validation from the great and the good. So it's wonderful that in one of my last appearances, we actually have Kerry, because it feels like things have almost come full circle. And then, if we all remember, a couple of years ago, this thing called COVID, and that kicked things up into another gear in terms of the dum-de-dums. Because every Friday, I think starting in May, we had these Zoom calls. And that really, for me, solidified the community. I don't know if people have long enough memories to remember how those Zoom calls actually started. Dum-de-dum got national press, everybody. See, wanking Archer's storm, I think, was one of the headlines. In my naivety, when I got onto Zoom, I posted the link without a password all over Twitter, to think, this is what you do. It's not what you do at all. And a gentleman who, of advanced age, decided to drop his trousers, pleasure himself loudly whilst shouting racial epithets, shall we say, whilst Terry Molloy was trying to talk about his time being an actor in The Archers. That Zoom call lasted for all of, I think, 5 minutes. I've never been so embarrassed. I was called the N-word. This man was pleasuring himself. All manner of things kicked off on Zoom. I went to bed shamefaced. I was woken up at about 8 o'clock in the morning. Hello, are you Royfield Brown? Yes, I am. My name is Sid. I'm from the Sun newspaper. Did a man wank on your Zoom yesterday? I said, yes. He said, how much money do you want for this story? In my naivety, I only said 600 quid. He went, done. That story got in the Sun, the Mirror, the Star, the Independent, the Times, you name it. So much so that even the BBC covered it. A giggling Colin Paterson, the BBC's entertainment expert, recounted the story.
The Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, has made clear that restrictions imposed to control the spread of coronavirus will continue for quite some time. An online video chat for fans of The Archers had to be abandoned after the meeting was bombarded with pornography and Nazi swastikas. The Dumpty Dum podcast, which is named after the show's theme tune, discusses all aspects of the soap. To cheer up their listeners and to help those who needed some company during the coronavirus lockdown, the host, Royfield Brown, organised a Zoom call, which would include an appearance by a surprise guest for the show. However, as our entertainment correspondent Colin Paterson reports, that was far from the only surprise.
This is not an everyday story about fans of the Archers. Self-pleasuring and neo-Nazis are not words normally associated with the world's longest-running drama, but things did not go to plan when fans of the show decided to have a Zoom meeting to cheer themselves up during lockdown. Dum-de-dum is a weekly podcast dedicated to the show, which has been running for 6 years. Plotlines are discussed, character appearances are counted. It's aimed at real aficionados. The host, Royfield Brown, thought it would be a nice idea if, during coronavirus, listeners could meet up for an online video chat to discuss the latest goings-on in Ambridge. On the latest edition of the podcast, he explained just how wrong things went.
There was a gentleman who was at least 60 who decided to pleasure himself in front of the massed ranks of dum-de-dummers on Zoom. There was all manner of pornography thrown up, and Nazi swastikas, and I was called the N-word repeatedly.
It
was
really?
An utter dip, yeah.
And all of this was witnessed by the meetup's surprise guest, Terry Molloy, who plays Mike Tucker in The Archers, who'd been happily answering fans' questions. Royfield Brown says the mistake they made was to put a link to the meeting all over Twitter, meaning that anyone who saw it could join in. However, he's not deterred. They will try the meetup again this Friday night with new security. Those who want to take part will have to send a direct message to secure the password. It is unclear if Terry Molloy will be back.
The headlines again.
Dumpty Dum has even been to San Francisco. I've done not one but two meetups in San Francisco with 20-odd San Franciscans all singing the theme to Barwick Green. We had our biggest international meetup in Toronto some years ago. And I've done a little bit of crying on occasion with this podcast. Initially, when I came up with the idea to do it, I said, this is what's going to happen, Lucy. We are going to become megastars,
right?
We're going to be traveling the length and breadth of Britain, going to WIs, and we're going to rock it with the over 70s set. She went, Royfield sounds like a plan. Okay, that didn't exactly happen, but I am here now looking at people who've listened to my podcast for 9 years about the thing which I've loved, the thing which, from when I was a rebellious teenager at the age of 14, 15, I said, I don't listen to BRNB anymore, right? I'm going to listen to Radio 4. And from our own correspondent, Loose Ends, and then it was The Archers, Radio 4 opened up the world to me. So I live in California, in San Francisco. It gave little Brummy me the inspiration and the broad-mindedness to say there is a world outside of the city of Birmingham. There's a world outside of England. And it's almost paradoxical that Radio 4 gave me a love and a passion for the world, but what's really held me to Radio 4 is actually this thing which is quintessentially and parochially English. And I wear my love of The Archers with such pride wherever I go. And I'm so blessed to be able to have this little madcap third ever podcast, which ever did, after How Jamaica Conquered the World. I'm a proud son of Jamaican immigrants, then mid-Atlantic, because I wanted to be serious about politics. Then I just became a fan. We're part of a community that loves this wonderful thing, which Sunny is, we all know she's our favourite character on it, don't we? And then to be able to have in my phone Kerry Davis's Uncle God Kerry's number. So thank you for being with me on this journey for the last 9 years. I've made so many mistakes. Hopefully I made one or two correct things. I'm going to choke up because, and I'm so sorry that when this finishes, I just have to run and be with my family. But thank you for being my special chosen family. Thank you, everybody. So we obviously, Jacqueline and I, do this every week. We don't ever see each other when we do this. And there will probably be the odd stop and start because we're going to do things in a different order, right? So bear with us as we fluff. And then you'll marvel when you hear my edit and say, that's pretty bloody smooth. But
it is very amazing.
We are shambolic. So that was your Dumpty Dump yesterday. We'll do another one at the end as well. All right. But I received this in my WhatsApp yesterday.
Hi, Royfield and Jacqueline. This is God Squad Mia, Bernadette Holmes Archers fan 2015.
And Rob Williams.
And we're at the Cozy Club. And we're just saying hello.
Hello. We're getting ready to have a really good time at the Cozy Club.
Yeah. Well, then you know that because you're two tables away.
We're a little bit drunk, but we've had a great day. Bye.
Bye.
There you go.
And the weird thing was, I was sitting next to them as they did it. They wouldn't let me join in.
I'm going to do this next bit. I know it's in red, but because I'm doing this on the hoofs. This week's Dumbly Dump was done by all of y'all that was at the Academic Orchards and Dumbly Dump Mashup Weekend. Give yourselves a big round of applause. And this week's podcast is sponsored by Lynn Fullerlove. So we'd like to give him a round of applause too. This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality ducky drama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the frustrated heir who is known as Royfield Brown, and I am here today with the interfering mother who is...
Jacqueline Berthe-Berthaud from Brittany in France. And today we're joined on stage by Sonny Ormond, also known as Lillian Bellamy, and friend of the podcast, and Archer's writer Kerry Davis. On this episode, we have a very rowdy group of caller-inners. In fact, we've heard the rowdiest ones, I think, already. We hear from Miss Christmas, Julie, David from Carmarthen, Vicky Cole, she's my Vicky Cole as well now, Amy, Paul, Globetrotting Richard, and Gadget Girl in Scotland. We also have our new and regular feature from our Stephen, who can be relied upon to explain the ins and outs of some of our favourite Ambridge institutions. And this week, he's discussing Brummies and Black Country Folk.
Plus, we have Tweet of the Week from our Purple Pumpkin, our Theo. And we have a social media roundup from Katie. Okay. Don't forget, if you search for Dumpty Dum on YouTube, guess what you get? A bit of Dumpty Dum on YouTube. So go onto YouTube, search for Dumpty Dum, and you'll get us. Now, when you go there, please, for the love of all things holy, don't just enjoy the content. Please subscribe. The algorithm works in such a wonderful way that if you do that, pleasant things happen to all things who are into the Archers. Now, we need you to continue to send us in your Dumpty Dums. We need a bank of these tunes so we can play them out in the future, so I don't just need to rely upon old, tired out renditions of Barwick Green. So if you fancy singing with your friends, with your family, tooting on your tin whistles, please send us in a full rendition of Barwick Green. And you can send it to us via SpeakPipe or by any other means if you have the facility for that. And that'd be most awesome. Please keep them coming.
Now, let's hear what our social media gurus have been talking about on the Dumpty Dum Facebook page with our wonderful Katie to tell us what has been going on.
Hey up my ducks, it's Katie here at Katie Peeland on Twitter and Instagram, coming live from the Mashup Weekend. It's been fab meeting you all. There was one character with numerous posts this week, and he didn't even speak. Rob. R Witherspoon wondered what will happen between Pat, Helen or Natasha and Rob, and linked it with a very appropriate song. Melly McMurrayweather wondered if someone's going a little bit overboard. Matt Hollis was appreciative of the week, giving them a background on the Helen and Rob saga. Sarah Evans gave a great plot prediction about Lee, but I hope she's wrong. And Catherine Humphreys asked how Rob acquired his visa in the States for the first place. Next was Adam and his half-sister Discovery. Rob Williams warned Adam to be careful and that he could be being scammed, while Melanie Matthews shared her own lovely story with her dad. It's worth taking a look. On to other news. We welcome Lisa Hood, who's been following the storylines on Twitter for some time, and shared their thoughts in the post. Well worth a gander. Another newbie, Kate Gamble, wondered whether the photos of the new cheese windows will show something, or someone, suspicious. Louise Lawton said what we're all thinking. If they'd had to spend an evening like that with Jim, they'd have definitely been on the sauce. And Laura Jackson asked for a reminder why Jazza and Ed fell out in the first place. Kate Nichols shared an article titled "The Archers' Electric Vehicle Row Shows Why Rural Areas May Oppose Chargers, But They Also Have So Much to Gain," and wondered if it was written by a Dumpty Dummer. Kate Penfold isn't a fan of Sykesy, and not sure many people are. Rob Williams has heard his four-year-old grandson whine less than Freddie. And Susan de la Mare simply told Freddie to grow up. Hear, hear. Our Sandra shared a quote from Kerry Davis, proving George clearly has a strain of Grundy in his genes. While out in the big wide world, our Sandra spotted that Graham Seed's in the best exotic marigold hotel. Our Witherspoon heard Oliver being interviewed on BBC Radio 4 The Reunion regarding the cast of Sharp. And Paul Newman discovered why Kirsty didn't accompany Helen to meet Jess. She was too busy voicing radio ads for Cadbury. Michelle Wright. Michelle Wright has asked if anyone else is interested in the Cambridge Summer Meetup to reply to their post. And finally, Mike Jennings said if anyone's free on Tuesday, the BBC will be at the Old Bull Ink Barrow recording a Eurovision / Archers special. Details are found on the Facebook page. As usual, welcome to the newbies, make yourselves known, settle in with a cuppa and let us know your thoughts. Until next time, ta-ra!
Indeed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There was mention of Sykesy, right, Mr. D. I've said a few times on the podcast, I'm not up for new characters at the moment, because I think we have enough old characters that I'm not hearing from. So, number one, what's the point of Sykesy? And is there a number on the amount of active characters on the show?
Okay, two questions. What's the point of Sykesy? Sykesy is there so that we can see Ben at work. Simple as that. We've got to have somebody who he's caring for at the Laurels, otherwise it's just, I'm off to the Laurels today. What was the second question?
Is there a number on the amount of active characters?
No, is the short answer. And with a programme that's been going as long as The Archers has, inevitably the cast list grows and grows over the years, because it's easy to create a character to fill a need. Yeah. It's a lot harder to get rid of them because you grow attached to them. And unlike the television soaps, and as Sunny will no doubt be gritting her teeth as I say this, we don't pay retainers. Radio money is too small, really, to say, yeah, we want first call on you for this entire year or whatever, in the way that the television soaps can do, because there are rich relatives, you see. And so there's no actual financial penalty for the programme in having a large cast of potentially available characters. Where there is a limit is the number of characters we can, or the number of appearances we can actually have in the week. And because of progressive pressure on the licence fee, some people may be aware that has reduced over the years, certainly over the time that I've been working on the show. And so that's where the limit is, how many we can actually hear in a week, but not in how many are available for broad, you know, to be drawn.
Sunny, is there anything which a stalwart actor like yourself can do to try and badger the great and the good, the average gods, the writers, to maybe give you a little bit more mic time?
Yeah, yes, there's always financial bribery, of course, isn't there? But before we start, maybe I should say hello to everybody as Lillian. Hello, darlings. We can slightly get that out on the way, can't we? Yeah, I would say financial bribery. Really, Roy Field, I
think. Sexual favours also.
I didn't like to see that, actually. But yeah, I would say.
Can I just come in here? The answer is to be good. And of course, we have one of the finest actors in the show here. And with who took the character that we reintroduced into the programme and absolutely made it larger than life and a joy to write. And we never, there's never a case of, oh, really, a Lillian story? Oh, dear me. It's fantastic. Yeah, let's hear more from her.
That's heartening to hear. That is really heartening to hear, isn't it? What's quite interesting when I came in, because obviously, I mean, it's 20-odd years ago now, but I'm the second Lillian. And as Kerry said, there was new Lillian. I was given a different sort of brief. And I think, Kerry, I'm right in thinking, I came in for about 6 months, and it was when you were actually producing. And I remember the episode when you said to me, Sonny, I'm afraid we're going to, the character's going to have to be out of the show for about 18 months, 2 years, because we discovered that because she came over from Guernsey, there was some ruling, wasn't there? Do you remember?
The tax thing.
The tax service. Right. I remember you, and I went, oh my goodness, no, I finally arrived, bells and whistles. But yes, I was out for about 18 months, wasn't I? And then reintroduced
but
again.
Wasn't the sort of thing you say to an actor, I'm terribly sorry, love. Tax problems, we're going to have to just rest the character. Yeah. It was absolutely true.
Yeah, and I thought, oh yeah, really? Is that, I used to be a terrible failure. But no, it was the truth, wasn't it? It was actually the truth.
Just to enlarge on what Sonny said to those that don't know, because I've been involved in the show in a number of different roles. So I joined as a producer in 1992, over 30 years ago, which still staggers me. Yeah, and it's only in the latter years that I've moved over to be now a freelance writer.
That's right, because you used to be in there directing, is it? Because in the Archers, producer stroke is the director.
And I still miss the directing.
Do you?
Yeah.
We miss you.
Best job ever.
We miss you.
Yes.
We miss you. Yeah. Let's get you back in there, please. Let's look at the week in Ambridge from our Suey Queen or Tart.
Hello, lovely people. In Suey Queen or Tart on the Twitters here. And another week in Ambridge. Sadly, I am not with everybody else in Birmingham. Instead, I am in Florida at a conference. So this week has been siblings in many forms, exes in many forms, and David's attempts at peacekeeping. Oh dear. It's been another Bridge Farm at the front this week. Pat had an epic meltdown on Sunday at Hella's birthday tea. Jack had disappeared for a few seconds and Pat was convinced he'd been taken by public enemy number one, Rob, despite the fact he's not on the cast list. She insisted the whole family should move back to Bridge Farm. Me stood up to her. There was some actual shouting, and Helen wished she'd never met Rob. Imagine the drama we would have missed out on if she hadn't. Ian took a lot of credit for sorting Helen out during the time she was with Rob, not mentioning Kirsty's part. Clearly his memories are somewhat different to some of ours. Pat hoped that Helen wasn't avoiding her. She was, Pat. Pat didn't like how Lee spoke to her. Tough Pat, frankly. She apologised to Helen and things seemed a little bit less worse. Things were muddling along until there was a very grim moment on the sofa where Helen had a flashback, clearly to her experiences with Rob. It's all come out that Justin stopped volunteering at the shop and withdrawn from the Business Angel Awards. Hurrah! Tony is coming out in favour of the EV charging station, which has put Jim's nose right out of joint. I foresee trouble ahead. The groom-to-be Jazza and his two best men, Jimus and Ed, have been out road testing pubs. The scorecard, made by Jimus, clearly. It's not easy for Ed and Jazza to be together because of George. He's a jail sentence waiting to happen. I think Tracy spoke for all of us when she said, keep away from George Grundy. There was a tense atmosphere with Jim trying to help the two talk to each other and comparing their past actions with George and Brad. Very diplomatic. Jazza made a new chum, Dennis, who turns out to be Tracy's ex, Den. He recommended a pub for the stag do, and they met up on Thursday, at which point Tracy recognised him as her ex-Den, and that clearly ruled the pub out. Dennis, as he now wants to be called, wants to communicate with his children, so let's see how that turns out. Adam appears to have a new half-sister, Erin, who works in retail. He discovered his father, Paddy, died just 2 weeks ago. Adam's just missed him. This is all very suspicious, but it seems we may now know why Sykesy is in the storyline. He knew Paddy, so hopefully he can rescue Adam if Erin turns out to be an imposter scammer, like we think. She's not asked for money yet, but it's only the first call. Sykesy and Ben enjoyed some banter at the Laurels and did a bit of bonding over Jess the dog. Ben asked if Sykesy would like to see Brookfield, so we'll be having a road trip. Buoyant Ben asked Ruth and David if Sykesy can visit Brookfield after he'd already invited him some time for a look round. David reckons they might just have got the old Ben back. Oh dear,
I hope you're not jinxed it, David. Freddie danced around like a nervous puppy over the painting, which the trustees have decided not to sell. Elizabeth gave him a good talking to after he had a teenage tantrum. She is happy to keep the explanatory text panel in place and wants Freddie to train with guides. Freddie continued with a strop at dinner, and David attempted to broker peace. He is sadly no Henry Kissinger. Freddie said the painting made him think of the explosion at Grey Gables and modern slavery. David said he'll speak to Elizabeth. Oh dear. The most unlikely thing that happened this week is that apparently Susan loves the new window, except for being stared through it by Basil Fawlty. Did this make sense to anyone? Because it didn't to me. Tracy told Brad and Chelsea about their dad. Chelsea said she's having nothing to do with him. Brad admitted to being led by George. He's got to learn from his mistakes and have now to do with George, but he will see his dad. This should be interesting. I hope you've had a lovely time, Brum, for the lucky ones who were there. Until next week, then, my lovelies. Hope it's a different.
Adam Berto, have you had a lovely time in Brum?
No, I've hated every minute of it. No, I've had the most amazing time in Brum. I've not been to Brum very often, once before in my life, and I've never been to a dum-ti-dum meet-up. I met a couple of people in Brittany, and I met Witherspoon in New York once. Never been to an Archers Academic Archers conference. I've never been to a conference ever. And do you know, Royfield, when you weren't here yesterday morning, they made me give the first talk, the keynote.
Oof.
Yeah.
You did the heavy lifting.
Yeah, but as I said at the beginning, the only way from here is up. We started at rock bottom.
I heard you were very good.
Thank you very much.
Now, how was your last week in Ambridge?
My last week in Ambridge was a bit bitty because I was travelling a lot. But, Pat, I'm not a Pat fan. However, I can understand where her nervousness is coming from, but as with everything that happens with the Bridge Farm family, they're so emotionally, it's all gone wrong somewhere along the line. And I just don't feel that anybody was acting in a way the normal family would act.
I don't know. Your daughter's been put through what Helen did. She nearly murdered somebody in self-defence. She has a custodial sentence. You hear this man is back in Blighty. I'd be getting the shotgun out as well. I would. I'd be protecting my child. Doesn't mean that actually what she said was right in the cold light of day, but this is your child and what they've been through, and the perpetrator potentially is in Pennyhasset. You don't know where they are. They could be close.
True.
Darrington.
I agree. Oh, you always make me say I agree in the end, don't you? But in fact, the whole thing is that Pat was overdramatic and hyping it up. And as a mum, I don't think I would do that. And as I'm a very calm person, don't do over-exaggeration. Yeah, I would be calm. Pat's over-egging of it worried me for what the effect that would have on Helen.
I think Pat is overreacting. But
oh, glad.
There's a reason.
Phew.
And it's because she got it so wrong the last
year.
And that's why she feels that such guilt for not having seen Rob for what he really is. And yes, she is. Yeah, her reaction is actually not helpful.
No.
But I think that's what's motivating it.
Yeah.
And just to pick you up, Helen didn't get a custodial sentence. She was on remand.
Yeah.
But of course,
sorry,
she was found not guilty.
Yeah.
As we're talking about mums, what a comparison between two mums and their children this week. Lizzie with Freddie. I wanted to slap her. And I wanted to hug Tracy because I thought Tracy was absolutely brilliant with her children going to them. So, yeah. Bravo, Tracy.
I was listening to the omnibus. It was marvellous, as you all were. Because I was listening, obviously, as I was coming in to do. But I can understand, actually, both points of view. Because Toby being the young person as well, he has inherited, hasn't he, all this? Toby's the actor, I beg your pardon. Yes, see him as Toby. But yeah, he's inherited this situation. And young people are much more aware now, aren't they, of what is politically acceptable and what is not. It'll be very interesting to see, won't it, how that story actually does develop.
So the storyline like that, Kerry, take us through how that would have played out in the scriptwriter's room.
Given that we've got a Staveley home with ancient paintings, it would have been very strange for us, because this has become such a live issue in museums, galleries, stately homes, and so on across the country, across the world. We try not to be issue-driven with our stories. That's really the wrong way to start. You should start with characters, you should start with situation. But in this case, I think there was definitely a feeling that this was important, it was relevant to the Archers, and that we should be doing something to reflect what's happening in the real world. Like, stories come in one of two directions. They either come top-down, as it were. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's the editor and the production team. They say, we want to do this story. Many stories come, as it were, bottom-up from the writers. It's been slightly in abeyance because of COVID and so on, but we're just getting back into the swing of the long-term sort of planning, story planning process, where we've all been asked to put up storyline ideas, long-term storyline ideas, which in our case could be anything from 6 months to 3 years to even longer, you know. But in this case, it came from the editor and the production team. And so it was brought as a draft story to us, not fully worked out, but this, the early stages, probably we work on a 4 week cycle. So we probably had 4 weeks of draft story, which would then have been discussed in the script meeting or the relevant script meeting for that period.
But at that point, Kerry, would you have said that Lizzie's going to take one view and Freddie's going to take another? Or is that something which then comes out when you're like drafting that story?
I can't honestly remember. Our planning process is well ahead of the actual, by the time the story gets onto air. But I suspect, because without conflict, there's very little drama, I suspect we probably did.
Yeah.
It was probably intentional that we would have two different views, and the logical two are Freddie and his mother. Freddie and Lily, I think they disagree as well, actually, I think, but that's the strongest relationship, I think, in this case. And then it plays out, and then in 4 weeks' time, the writers and the production team will sit down, and we'll have a broad idea of where the story is going. But by then the scripts will have been written, we'll have much more detail about how it's playing, and so then that may well affect how the story then is further developed. Yeah, so it's a bit of a cliche, but it's an organic process.
Madame Berto, for me, I thought the reappearance of Dennis was pretty significant last week. That seems to be the harbinger of stuff, shall we say.
Stuff for stuff. Tracy and Jazza and Brad.
Brad. Yeah, I'm putting straight. I think they're rocks.
They're solid.
Yeah. It's Brad, isn't it?
It's Brad. And we've already seen that Brad can be influenced by George very easily. And Den, or now as he's a mature 50-year-old man, let's be called Dennis, maybe he'll send him down the wrong road. I hope not. I hope he...
Well, he's definitely going to mess with his head, so to speak, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And Brad, for me, is a fragile young man. In that he could be easily influenced in any, all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
It's not probably, I think he's got such a solid relationship with his mum and Jazza and, of course, the wonderful Chelsea. So I'm hoping that they will be close enough and he will be able to communicate with them enough that he won't be influenced in the wrong way or do something.
This is a dreadful thing, though. We actually do want him to be influenced the wrong way for the sake of the drama, don't we?
You know, absolutely.
This is, as we said, it's quite as Kerry said, though, without conflict, there is no drama.
Yeah, but I haven't enjoyed this Ben's struggling and suffering mental health storyline. I look at these vulnerable young men in this, what can be a horrible online world and all the rest of it now. And for me, having another young man who's going to have his head messed with, I worry. You know me, Royfield, I'm a worrier.
So that's Dum-de-dum. Live part one. Part two will be with you shortly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.